Okay, so a short idea on Chayesara. So one of the things that you see at the beginning of Chayesara is that the local population has a deep respect for Avram as an individual, right? They, when he goes to find a burial place for Sarah, they tell him, Nasi Elokim Atah B'Tochenu, right? You are a prince of God among us. And even with Ephron's dealings with him, however exactly you want to understand it, it's clear that he has the respect, at the very least, of the people. So Rabbi Soloveitchik notes, however, that in many ways this is in tension, definitely with the Midrashic understandings of what's going on in the story. And Rashi quotes in two different places cynical rumors that were spread around by people in the time of Avram. One, when the pasuk says that Avraham holid et Yitzchak, so Rashi comments that Avraham holid et Yitzchak, Hashem made Yitzchak look like Avraham, because there were people claiming that Avram was not really his father, right? And therefore, Hashem made an ace and made it that Yitzchak looked like Avram, so everyone understand that he was really his father. And similarly, earlier, like last week's parsha, the midrash that Rashi quotes is that when they weaned Yitzchak, Sarah nursed all the children who came, because people didn't believe that Sarah was the mother of Yitzchak, and therefore she showed she was, because she was a new mother, and therefore she was capable of nursing. So you have two types of accusations, right? One is that neither Sarah nor Avram are parents of Yitzchak, which is what you have in last week's parsha. And then this week, where you have this idea that, okay, maybe Sarah is the mother, but someone else, presumably Avimelech, is the father, because right before she becomes pregnant, she is also kidnapped by Avimelech. Now, of course, the notion that Avram is not the father and Sarah is the mother is a very odd claim, because of all things, right? Women lose their fertility much earlier, right? Men, even though it's not as common, men can father children much later in life. So it's very odd that at any point, right, even the Midrashic imagination, they would have accused Avram of not being the father, but Sarah being the mother, when Sarah was already very, very old, and that's even more miraculous that she should mother a child and Avram should father one. So Soloveitchik tries to put these together. Now, of course, you could say, look, in Pshat, they respected him, but the Midrashim say, well, they didn't respect him. But Soloveitchik takes the Midrash and says, okay, at least in the world of the Midrash, so how could it be that on the one hand, you have these rumors that are going around that he's not the father, right? People clearly are willing to disrespect him. On the other hand, you're the man of God, and the like. So you could have given a lot of answers. Again, you could have said one is Pshat, one is Drash. You could have said that, look, there are many great men that people respect, but they also gossip about, right? Meaning that's a very popular type of gossip about the politician, gossip about the celebrity, gossip about the rabbi, right? As much as you respect them, right, you also like, right, undermining them, right? That's, I think, definitely possible, right? At the same time that someone respects someone, so you can also like gossiping about them. Those go together. But Soloveitchik wants to suggest something very interesting, which, again, I think you could get out in other ways, but at least in his drashot, which was published in Abraham's Journeys, he suggests what I think is an interesting approach. I don't know if it's Pshat or even Pshat in the Midrash, but it is a fascinating idea. And he says that there are different types of honor. He says people did not object to Avram's world outlook. We're going to try right after this. I'll do Parsha first. We'll try, okay? So what he argues is that people did not object to Avram's world outlook, to his unique way of life, to his moral code. On the contrary, they stood in awe of him. But it was only so long as they were convinced that they would all die with Avram, that he had no spiritual heir, and there would be no successor to continue the tradition. However, once Isaac was born, they began to change their attitude. Abraham, or Abraham's way of life, was not just an old man's idea. It had dynamism, life, aggressiveness. They knew that young Isaac would pick up the tradition and carry it on, and they resented this prospect. They wanted no spiritual succession. They began to spread rumors. The rumors represented two philosophies. The first was that Judaism was obsolete, old-fashioned, unfit as a guide for the modern world. At the beginning of the 20th century, Jewish socialism took the stand vis-a-vis our faith. There are, even now, many people reject religious Judaism in toto. Neither ritual and ceremonial nor morality is acceptable in our scientific philosophy, they say. They reject Abram and Sarah. They maintain that history will find to dispose of all tradition. And then he notes that some people are revising their philosophy, right? But what he argues is, and I think it's a fascinating idea, right, that there are people who we respect, even because they're people of principle, but, right, and think about it, there are many people talk about, right, you know, this is the way people talk about elderly people. They represent a lost world, right? And as long as they're comfortable saying they represent a world that was, but not the world that we live in, it's a man of conviction, they can have a lot of respect because there's distance, right? But that doesn't mean they want that life to threaten their way of life, right? And be a viable way that they're expected to live up to. So what Salvation Gaur's Midrashic tradition is getting at is this. People were very comfortable with him being a great man. You're a man of God, that's fine. Right? You're an old, right, old age philosophy, a man of God, that's wonderful. We have a lot of respect for that. But what they really didn't want was that the suggestion that that view of this venerable old man was something that should bind them. And that is why they challenged specifically his parenthood. Because once there's Yitzchak, and once he's going to raise someone, that means this isn't just a view of some elderly, respectable statesman. This is a worldview that's supposed to live into the future. And that's much more threatening, right? Because people are very happy to say we respect that view from the past, from history. It's beautiful, right? What a way of life, as long as it doesn't make any demands on them, right? And the Rav, right, obviously this is a drush, and he's writing that in the 20th century. You got a lot of people like this, where they were happy to talk about how beautiful Judaism was as a tradition, right? As long as they didn't have to say, but it obligates me, right? History is beautiful. Let's study Jewish culture. Let's look back at what it was, right? But to say, and it's a living tradition, and we should embrace it, and it's not just something from the past, but it's something that the future, they can also carry over into the future, right? That's a much more threatening thing, because it demands not just respect, but commitment. Right, and that's, I think, a very interesting way. Again, is it pshat? I don't know. Even pshat in the Midrash, I don't know. But I think there is a lot of truth there, that sometimes people are willing to have respect for things, but only if they view it as an ossified, past, beautiful tradition that belongs in a museum. Right, but the second you start saying, right, it's the same way that some people will study, let's say, the history of Hasidut, and enjoy it, right, but will have antipathy to modern Hasidim, right? Because history, my great-great-great-grandfather was a Hasid, right? That's beautiful, right? But, and they're willing to learn about that tradition maybe in a history class, but right, when they read Mil Hasidim, they might not, right, assuming they're not Hasidim, right, they might not like it, right? There is that difficulty, and I think that is a very fascinating idea. Again, is it pshat? I don't know, but I do think it is a very sharp potential read of the Midrash.